My subject is, are you a God seeker? Are you a God seeker? Jesus, in Matthew 6 and 33, which happens to be our theme scripture for this entire year, as we're looking at pursuing the kingdom agenda, he said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, I'm going to say something. I've seen people who profess salvation, but I don't know if they're God seekers. I mean, you know, some people, they just want to escape hell. Now, don't get me wrong, I do too. But there should come a place in your life or a point in your life where it's no longer just about not going to hell. Because you're going to seek God because you love him. Not because you don't want to go to hell. See, the fear of going to hell is only going to motivate for so long. Because there's a point where people start to go, well, ain't nothing happened yet. So maybe I can get away with this. Maybe I could do that. Maybe I could do this. But if you're a God seeker, you're not doing it because you get away with something. Let's go through some texts. The Chronicles of the Kings is what it's referred to. And it is a story chronicling or putting into perspective what was happening with the kings of both Judah and Israel. Because the kingdom at the time was split. If you remember, after Saul had messed up and the kingdom was ripped or torn from him, and it was torn into two different kingdoms, one being Judah, the southern kingdom, and Israel, comprised of everything else primarily. Now, so here's a chronicling of the kings and their behavior and those things, as well as it relates to Israel and Judah and what's going on in the surrounding areas around each of these individuals. Now, in particular, we want to talk about Judah today, or praise, what we commonly know as praise. Now, 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verse 1. Everybody there?
Yes.
All right. So Abijah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. Okay. Now, you have to understand that according to this text, we're talking about kings. So Abijah happens to be or was a king who was sleeping with his fathers, or he died and he's buried. And Asa, his son, reigned in his stead. In his days, the land was quiet 10 years. Now, verse 2. Remember my text today, or my topic today is, are you a God seeker? Verse 2, and Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. So my question would be, what constitutes good and right according to God? Now, let's for a moment, because I don't want to be so deep into this. For a moment, that's a question each and every one of us really has. What does God require? What does God want? So I could talk about everything else that people want, but what does God want? When God says Asa did what was good and right, what is that? Because if we could find out what that is, wouldn't it be nice? Because now we can do it.
Yes.
And we know this is what God, y'all following me now?
Yes.
Let's see what's right as far as what God is looking at. Verse 3. For he took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places and break down the images and cut down the groves. Well, Pastor, I don't have no strange gods. I ain't got no high places. I ain't got no images I got to get rid of. And I hope not. And no groves you got to cut down. Well, let's see what that really means. Asa was removing everything that took the place that only God should have in our lives. Because you have to understand, when they were worshiping false gods, They were worshiping those gods to do things in their lives. What are the things that we put in our lives in the place that only God should have? That's what needs to be removed. I love my mom, but my mom can't be my God. I love my children. My children can't be my God. What do you mean? The children, they hear. No, what are we worshiping? See, we look at false gods as though it's got to be some little idol or something somewhere. It don't have to be a little carved image. It could be one that you've carved in your mind. What or whom do we lean on for support when we threaten physically, when we threaten financially, when we threaten emotionally? Who are we leaning on for that support? Now all of a sudden you found the thing that's replacing God. And it says he removed them. What are the things that we feel like will prosper us? See, some of us, we're in business. What do you really feel is prospering you? Is it really the hand of God, or is it your knowledge? See, this is real, you all. Do we really feel like God has blessed us? Because you have to always stop and think, it's somebody that know more than you do, but they don't have the success that you do. It's somebody that's got more connections than you do, but they don't have the success that you do. Don't ever get it twisted on why you're successful, because if you do, you've automatically taken God out of his place and put something else there. Well, we're trying to get here. What do you do to free your life from things that are not like Christ? See, he removed all of this stuff. He took it away. When's the last time you just went and said, you know what, it's time to do some spring cleaning in me? I mean, you know, some stuff is cluttered now. Let me make sure nothing is taking a place that only God should occupy. Come on, that's verse 3. We got to keep rolling. Verse 4, and commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to do the law and the commandment. So Asa directed others to seek God and to obey him. Well, you know, whatever they want to do, that's all right with me. You know, we have this concept that, and I know I have suffered from it too. You know, I'm going to just let them go on and do what they're doing. Not defying, I ain't going to get into it. You know, I won't get into nobody's business. You know, Asa didn't just clean out stuff that affected him. If you're around me, I'm going to let you know too. Now, I know Asa was a king, so he had a whole lot more power and influence than we do. But you know what? I just can't see to somebody living in your own house. Somebody you paying for groceries. They get to do what they want to do. Just have a hard time, because you do know God's holding you accountable for that. God know you may not be able to influence the house next door, but yours. With your mortgage name on. With your name on. I mean, you know, maybe not next door, but this one. Joshua said it this way, as for me and my house. I don't know about your house. Well, see, we got to realize that God is not an alternative. He's the only way. Saints, listen, even if your kids don't like what you're saying, do you know your kids have a right not to like what you're saying? But if you hear, it's okay not liking it. I give you permission not to like it. That ain't got nothing to do with obeying it, though. See, because sometimes we feel like we obligated to accept any and everything. I'm just being honest. Asa, he commanded Judah. He didn't ask him. He said, you're going to seek God here. If you get up, you go find you another tribe somewhere. This is what we're going to do. We need to stir up that kind of boldness again. Wait, before we talk about going all out in the street, I'm talking about in your house. In your house. Begin to go back. Because, see, I'm talking about, are you a God seeker? I didn't say, are you professing salvation? I said, no, are you a God seeker? Verse 5. Also, he took away out of all the cities of Judah the high places and the images, and the kingdom was quiet before him. So Asa removed all the religious options. Ain't nothing else there. Get rid of all that stuff. And then God gave him peace because of his efforts. We want peace, but not making the effort. And verse 6, he built fenced cities in Judah, for the land had rest, and he had no war in those years because the Lord had given him rest. Therefore he said unto Judah, let us build these cities, make about them walls, towers, gates, and bars, while the land is yet before us. Because we have sought the Lord our God. We have sought him, and he hath given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered. Listen to this. God seekers fortify their lives against future attacks. God seekers fortify their lives against future attacks. Folk are sometimes just so spiritually lazy. God bring you've been seeking God, and you've got to a place where he's giving you rest on every side. If you notice, when you go back, you'll see if you go to David and you look at his life, David had wars all the time. Solomon came in, Solomon had peace. You know what you hear about Solomon? He built Solomon's temple. He built his house. Notice how he was building because he had peace. He had rest. Yes, yes. God seekers fortify against future attacks. When you have peace, you don't just take the peace and lay around and say, this is wonderful. You prepare for what's coming. Because, well, okay. Like I say, are you a God seeker? Now some of y'all, this is going to wake some of y'all up today, boy. Amen. God seekers understand that prosperity is a byproduct of seeking God. Yes. Yes. What do you mean, Pastor? Well, look what he said. He says, because we have sought the Lord our God, we have sought him, and he hath given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered. They didn't just build, they prospered. Prosperity is a byproduct of seeking God. You want to be prosperous? Find yourself seeking God. See, we want to go to everybody's seminar. We want to talk about all of these different things, how to invest in the stock market. What happens when that crashes? Prosperity in God, can it withstand everything? God will prosper you when nobody else is prospering. I know what I'm saying to you sounds strange, sounds foreign, but I'm telling you, it is going to get to the place where you will see the difference between people who are seeking God and people who are not. Amen. Prosperity is a byproduct of seeking God. I know sometimes it looks like, now I'm going to get into what seeking God is in a moment. Well, actually, we're already into it, to be honest. We keep thinking the seeking God is praying and studying, and I'm not knocking those things, but notice there's some stuff that we need to get rid of too. Amen. What did Jesus say? But seek ye first. That means all of a sudden the kingdom of God became a priority. If it's a priority, I got to cut out some other stuff. All right, I'm just keep walking with me here. Verse 8, and Asa had an army of men that bear targets and spears out of Judah, 300,000. Out of Benjamin that bear shields and drew bows, 280,000. All these were mighty men of valor. So he's got 300,000 out of Benjamin, and he's got 280,000. I'm sorry, he got 300,000 out of Judah and 280,000 out of Benjamin. So we got 580,000 folk. Boy, this is nice. Fortified my cities too. I'm ready for whatever's coming in the future. Can we keep reading?
Yes.
Verse 9. And there came out against them Zerah, the Ethiopian, with a host of 1,000 and 300 chariots, and came unto Mareshah. So this Ethiopian shows up with 1,000,000-man army and 300,000 chariots. He got almost as many chariots as you got people. They say the only people right now, I'll give you, so you can put this in context, that the only people right now who can actually formulate a 1,000,000-man army is the Chinese. I mean, 1,000,000 boots on the ground. But here's the scriptures telling us this is what the Egyptians had. See, people I'm doing this because historically we look at stuff and they say, well, you know, there wasn't that many people on the earth then. You realize how many people have been killed? It's been a lot of folk. So this Ethiopian shows up with 1,000,000 men and 300,000 chariots. Verse 10, then Asa went out against him, and they set the battle in array in the valley of Zephthah at Mareshah. And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God, let no man, or let not man prevail against thee. Let me share something with you. God seekers are clear on where victory comes from. See, some of us, we you can tell when folk testify. I was believing God. Okay, then you already messed up. You know you weren't believing it. You were panicking. You didn't know what was going to happen. The best you was doing was hoping. But it's like we scared to say this. Asa rolls out with his 580,000. No, he ain't got a chance. Okay, wait a minute. So you meaning to tell me that a man of God rolled out, knew he didn't have a chance? Yes. We are tragically outnumbered. You got to understand, chariots were like tanks in that day. So you got 300,000 tanks. We got 580,000 people. You got almost as many tanks as we got people. And then on top of that, you got 1,000,000 folk that's going to march after us too. We tragically outnumber. One commentary says that his 580,000 people, even though it says that they were men of valor, that they were just individuals who could hold a sword and fight because they were of the fighting age. In other words, they weren't necessarily warriors. They were simply capable of going out there and say, all right, I'll go fight. So that's what Asa has. And you're going against warriors. I just want to make sure we understand the stage. Listen to this. Crisis has a way of revealing who or what our trust is really in. Asa, the Bible said they set the battle in array. So he's lined up and they lined up. And listen to his prayer. God, you got this. I know you can do this whether it's few or many. I ain't tripping over what they look like. You the one who get a victory. See, a crisis will reveal who or what you're really trusting in. See, some of us, we say God's our provider, but the crisis of not having your job has not hit you yet. I ain't wishing that on nobody. I'm just saying, always keep in mind who's the real provider. It ain't your job. Your job is a resource. God is the source. Don't get them twisted. Verse 12. So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. God seekers give credit where credit is due. God seekers give credit where credit is due. Asa said, I know we ain't do this. I ain't crazy. Some of us, we kind of forget that, you know, it is God. Amen. Well, let me keep moving. We got a lot of ground to cover. Asa and the people that were with him pursued them unto Gerar, and the Ethiopians were overthrown that they could not recover themselves, for they were destroyed before the Lord and before his host, and they carried away very much spoil. Well, Pastor, you said, you know, according to the scriptures that God smote them, but it says that they were chasing them. Well, I was thinking about that too, and I know we like to take credit for stuff. So Psalms 144:1 really puts it in context. Blessed be the Lord my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. Okay, how good you are, somebody taught you. But I ain't got time to stay there. We got to keep going. Verse 14. They smote all the cities around Gerar, for the fear of the Lord came upon them. They spoiled all the cities, for there was exceeding much spoil in them. They smote also the tents of cattle, carried away sheep and camels in abundance, and returned to Jerusalem. So now, I need to bring it into context now. They have had a tremendous battle, and they've slammed war out. And in the course of the battle, they gathered all of this bounty. I mean, they have won. They've just wore people out. God gave them a trend. If you really look, they knocked out a million man army. Then they went and killed everybody in the cities around them. Remember, this little 580,000. Can I submit something to you? There's no report of nobody dying. Just thought I'd drop that in there. No report. 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 1. They came back feeling good. Boy, you got to be feeling good. You got to be feeling good. 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 1. And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. He went out to meet Asa and said unto them, hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. So those are the two tribes. The Lord is with you while you be with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. So if we seek God, he'll be found of us, and he doesn't forsake us. Look at verse 3. Now for a long season, Israel hath been without the true God and without a teaching priest and without law. So just for a moment here, let's talk about this for a minute. Verse 3 is real interesting because the prophet is letting him know how it has been. He says Israel's been without the true God. That don't mean that they've been without God. Amen. They've had gods, just not the true one. So they were involved in false worship. He says, and they were without a teaching priest. Don't mean that they didn't have priests. They just didn't have priests that taught the truth. And without law, they were without God's law. Because they didn't have priests who was teaching them the truth, which is the law. Amen. Verse 4. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them. You know, we should not have to have trouble to seek God. Amen. But this is why some people need trouble. Some folk need trouble because you're not going to do right until trouble lets you know you're doing wrong. Come on now, let's be honest. What do we say? Lord, what am I doing wrong? Why is this happening? Yeah, because you know something done broke out. Some of us need trouble. And in those times, there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in. But great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. And nation was destroyed of nation, and city of city, for God did vex them with all adversity. So the adversity was from God. Did you get that? The lack of peace, all of this stuff, wherever we go, man, what's going on? It was God doing it. When God is your problem, only God can be your solution. Verse 7. Y'all bear with me. I'm trying to cover some ground. So he says, be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. Listen, it is work being a God seeker. I don't want you to get a misunderstanding from what I'm saying. It is work being a God seeker, but your work will be rewarded. The Bible says in Hebrews 11 and 6, without faith it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It's work seeking God, but there's a reward. There's a reward. Verse 10. So they gathered themselves together at Jerusalem in the third month, 15th year, in the 15th year of the reign of Asa, and they offered unto the Lord the same time of the spoil which they had brought. So they got so much stuff, they said, listen, we got to come and celebrate and offer this stuff to God. 700 oxen and 7,000 sheep. They entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart, with all their soul, that whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death. Whether small or great, whether man or woman. And they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice and with shouting, with trumpets and with cornets. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought him with their whole desire. And he was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest round about. You know, everyone that sought God experienced this great peace and prosperity. Let me say that again. Everyone, because if you go through this, what he's telling you is all of Judah made the oath. And all of Judah benefited from seeking God. It wasn't just the king. So what that means, if all of us put in our heart that we're going to seek God with all our might, with all our desire, every one of us will benefit from it. Not just one person. Everybody. Not just the preacher. Well, I don't even go into that. 2 Chronicles chapter 16. Verse 1. Now, it's a lot of other stuff in that, but I'm trying to bring us somewhere. I'm trying to get you to understand, are we really God seekers? You looked at Asa when he started off and all of Israel, they got rid of stuff. Anything that would prevent them from being able to seek God, to please God, to come before his presence. And then they began to build up things. When God gave them peace, they used the time to, look at this, they used the time to prepare for what is coming. Amen, it is. 2 Chronicles 16, verse 1, we there? In the 6th and 30th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramah to the intent that he might let none go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. Now you have to understand, Baasha is the king of Israel. You have Benjamin and you have Judah. Those are the two tribes, and you've got the other 10 tribes. So the king of the other 10 tribes is trying to prevent people from going to Judah. Here's the kicker. Because Asa and Judah and them were prospering so much, people from surrounding areas wanted to come and join with them. If you seek God, people will be drawn to you because what God is doing in your life. So the king, who is an evil king of Israel, is upset because people are flocking to him. So he builds a fortification to prevent other people from going and coming out from there. Just want you to see this. So their way of life is being threatened now. Verse 2. Then Asa brought out silver and gold out of the treasures of the house of the Lord and of the king's house and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, that dwelt at Damascus, saying, there's a league between me and thee as there was between my father and your father. Behold, I have sent thee silver and gold. Go break your league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart from me. Can I fix all of this so we can kind of get it? So he hired some mercenaries. The mercenary he hired used to be in league with the person who's building the fortification to stop him. But did you catch where he got the money from? I know. Maybe I was reading a little fast. So let's go back. Then Asa brought out silver and gold out of the treasures of the house of the Lord and of the king's house. So wait a minute. So you mean to tell me all of them treasures you got from all them cities you was defeating that God gave you favor with and all of those, that million man army, you mean to tell me that when things got a little dicey over here, you decided you would go get God's stuff that you dedicated to him? Shame on Asa. See, is that anything that we do? When things get a little tough, whose time is it that we cut out? Is it, well, you know, I got to work so I can make it happen. Well, you know, who, don't worry about, man, God, you know, I'll just pray in my car while I'm on the way to work. So all of a sudden now, you what you dedicated to the Lord, now you're using to pay for protection. Protection from your way of life being threatened. I know it's tight, but it's right. We talking about becoming God seekers. I'm talking about moving to a place where we say, okay, God, it's all yours anyway. Notice the thing that Asa grabbed was something. Now, he tried to make it nice. He put a little bit of his stuff in there, too. Well, it cost me a little something, you know. But you took stuff out of God's house. Saints, we it seemed like every time we say, well, I just need some time to myself. And you take it from God's time. Why we don't take it from my job? Why you don't take a vacation from your job? I ain't using my vacation days for that. Mm-hmm. It ain't good enough for that. But take God's time, no problem. See, I know. I'm talking about becoming God seekers. I ain't talking about you just getting saved. I'm talking about us moving into being God seekers. See, this now I'm understanding why everybody don't live at this level. They're not willing to pay this kind of price. They want to tiptoe around stuff and say, well, I go to church. That's got to do with it? See, being a God seeker is a lifestyle. Oh, I'm going to show you something here in a moment. I'm going to show you something in a moment. So he took from the house of God to pay for protection. Be careful what you're protecting your way of life with. Don't let it be something that God himself should have. You paying for your way of life with what belongs to God. We are so quick to give away God's stuff and just simply say, oh, well, it's going to be all right. He understands. I'm just read the book now. I ain't trying to say nothing about nobody. Just verse 4. And Ben-Hadad hearkened unto King Asa and sent the captain of his armies against the cities of Israel. They smote Ijon and Dan and Abel-Maim and all the store cities of Naphtali. And it came to pass when Baasha heard it that he left off building of Ramah and let his work cease. Now, I want to show you something. So, Ben-Hadad, who's the king of Syria, listens to Asa. Baasha gets discouraged because the whole league that he had breaks up and he quits building on the thing. that he was building to prevent them from coming to Judah. But listen to this. Asa's enemy leaves Baasha, not defeated, just undermined. I want to take a moment. His enemy leaves, not because he's defeated, but because he's undermined. See, some of us don't know the difference. All we want is him to leave so we can keep our way of life. Verse 6. Then Asa the king took all Judah, and they carried away the stones of Ramah and the timber thereof, wherewith Baasha was building, and he built there with Geba and Mizpah. So he takes the stuff that they were using to build up this fortification to stop people from coming in, and he uses it to build cities. And it seemed like he's doing real good. Because some of us don't know the difference between being defeated and being undermined. I want my enemies defeated. Verse 7, the Lord decides to show him the difference. And at that time, when he's building and thinking everything is great, Hananiah the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Okay, now wait a minute. This new crisis revealed who Asa is depending on now. Remember, I said to you, being a God seeker is not a one-time occasion. It's a lifestyle. So when Asa got on top and began to experience the blessings of the Lord, he was no longer relying on God. Let's just go buy protection now. Let's just go out and get what we need. We don't need to seek God anymore. We can just do what we need to do. I'm in a position now where I don't have to seek him like that now. After all, it ain't desperate like it used to be. I ain't feeling the pressure like I used to feel. The million people ain't standing in front of me like that no more. This is just little Baasha. I could sit down and use my own human reasoning on how to figure this one out. Let's just pay him. That's what's in the book. Now, I want you to hear what the prophet said to him. Remember, I told you his enemy left. He wasn't defeated. He was just undermined. So Baasha leaves, who's the king of Israel. If you really look and you go read the rest of the Chronicles, Baasha dies. But he makes a league with Syria. Now, wait a minute. He says, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Do you realize the prophet is telling him you missed a victory you were supposed to win? You missed a victory that God was bringing into your hand. The very person you made the league with, you were supposed to defeat. This was all a setup to bring you to a place of gaining the victory over the king of Syria, and you decided to buy him out instead. So let's see what he keeps saying here. He says this, verse 8. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? Remember the million-man army? Yeah. Yeah. Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore, from henceforth thou shalt have wars. He said, wait a minute, since you did this, since you decided to do it your own way, the seed that you sowed is going to produce wars. Wars because, and watch this, the wars are with the people you were supposed to defeat. Okay. Well, we done good. I'm about to close. So he was reminded of what the Lord had done for him when the odds were against him. He said, remember the Ethiopians? The prophet also said, listen, God's eyes run to and fro, and he is looking to support those whose heart is perfect toward him. In other words, God sees everything. I think somewhere along the line, we forgot that. Around Christmas time, we start singing that stuff about Santa Claus seeing everything, but God sees everything. All year. Now, then he says this. Finally, he lets him know that his choice of support in this battle will cost him future wars that could have been avoided. Out of all of this, I think the thing that stings me the most is that. Because a battle that he could have won, that would have prevented future wars, he made a league, and now, how many people are going to die in the future because of that decision? How many wives are going to lose husbands? How many children are going to lose fathers because of your decision to make a league instead of letting God use you to gain a victory? Saints, I'm saying this. As God seekers, we've got to come to the place where we're seeking God on what he wants to do. Because Asa didn't seek God, he didn't know that God was going to give him victory right then and there. Who knows how long Judah would have had peace? Who knows what they could have built then? Destinies were changed right then and right there because of one decision he made. The decision not to seek God. Things to remember. First thing, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Well, Pastor, what do you mean? It don't matter that the odds may be against you and things look like you can't win. Remember, what has God done for you already? Amen. This ain't the first time stuff has been against you. This ain't the first time it looked like you wasn't going to make it. This ain't the first time that you was wanting the Lord how in the world. This is not the first time. Amen. What did you do the last time to get through that? It probably had to do with something seeking God. So keep your same pattern of seeking him now. Do not resort to your own human reasoning, thinking that, oh, well, I can figure this out now. Because after all, people tell you, you're this, you're that, and you've come a long way, and you pulled yourself up by your bootstraps. You look good and polished and fine now and all of this. Everything look like it's going great. No, no, no. Remember how you got there. You saw God. See, I love my life in this regard. I cannot explain all of the things. I've got to only say, God did this. See, there's some people, they could lay out, well, I'm this, and I went to that, and I know this person. See, that's bad, because you can explain it all. Since you can explain it all, you got to sustain it all. I can't explain it, and I don't have to sustain it. God's got it. He did it. And because he did it, I'm resting in that. And this is the other thing to remember. God sees everything. No, you don't understand what I'm saying. God sees everything. There's certain places in the Old Testament. For instance, in the book of Judges, when Samson comes on the scene, Samson gets to messing with that Philistine woman. And you know, you were looking and go like, why is he messing with that woman? You know, you don't need to be messing with no woman outside of the Israelites and all of this, you know. But then you go on and you read, and it says, because this was of the Lord. God was behind that so that they would go to war with the Philistines. See, God sees everything. We think of sees as he's just watching. No, no. He sees everything. He sees the big picture. See, what is he really trying to accomplish with you? What is he really trying to do? See, Asa didn't see the big picture. He simply saw that the fact that Baasha was there and I need to get him out of here, so let me hire this person. But the big picture was the person you hired, God wanted to give you victory over. God sees everything. Another thing to remember, a foolish compromise now may seem harmless, but the future impact can be deadly. A foolish compromise now may seem harmless. Because if you look, right after Baasha picked up his and left, he went out and got the stuff he was using and started building cities. It looked like, oh, well, I'm good. Until the prophet showed up and said, you know what? This is going to cost you in the future. It's going to cost you in the future. Don't have time to deal with all this one, but this is going to be my quick recap here. Listen to this one, because you need to know this. God seekers learn to properly accept godly counsel. God seekers learn to properly accept godly counsel. Well, Pastor, why are you saying that? You remember the Bible says, I think it's in chapter 15, verse 1, when Asa hears from the prophet. He enjoyed the word from the prophet so much, he sent a major reformation throughout all of Judah. They start changing stuff, fixing stuff, putting things in order and all of this. Well, when Hananiah came to him, he said, man, you blew it. You know, the Bible says that he threw Hananiah in prison. So he persecuted the prophet. If you go on, it says after that, Asa also began to oppress the people. So he's persecuting the prophet. He's oppressing the people. And if you read to the end, he suffers personally. Because Asa becomes diseased in his body. Starts from his feet and works its way up. And you know what it says? He refused to seek God. It all came back to seeking God. Instead of going to God for healing, he refused to seek God. Sometimes we become so prideful, so stubborn in our ways. We don't like godly counsel. We avoid it at all cost. And sometimes the cost is our own lives. My question is, are you a God seeker? Not a church goer.
That's right.
But a God seeker. Because when you're a God seeker, you're trying to get things out of your life. Anything that prevents you from being able to get to God, you're willing to move it. Anything that hinders you from becoming all that God wants you to be, you're willing to remove it. That means my attitude. That means the way, listen, I'm going to treat you right, not because you're right. I'll let you work with that one for a minute. It ain't cause you right. I want to be right with him. So I'm going to treat you right. I'm going to let him deal with you. See, the Bible says when a man ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. We trying to work. Why are you trying to fight enemies? Why don't you just try to please God? He'll make your enemies be at peace with you. Some of you all may not have ever experienced this, but God will call somebody that don't like you to do right by you. See, concentrate on pleasing him, not defending yourself from them. You look in the wrong direction. That's what happened to Asa. He stopped looking at God and started looking at what was coming against him. Well, you know, one of the most amazing stories that I see in Scripture is Moses. I say Moses was a bad man. I'm serious. They talk about Moses. He dropped on his face in front of him and started praying for him. I said, God, help me. Oh, I love you. I do. But God, help me. I mean, they were doing stuff to Moses left and right. I mean, driving Moses just, I mean, all kind of stuff. Moses dropped on his face and stopped. That's why they say Moses was the meekest man. He wasn't the weakest man. He was the meekest man. I said, God, Lord, help me. Now, when somebody starts, they're going to talk about you. No, no, not behind your back. And you're going to fall down in front of them and start praying for them? Oh, come on now. That was Moses. He's a bad man, I'm telling you. Eventually, the folk got on his nerve enough, made him hit the rock twice. But we have to be careful. Being a God seeker will keep us in perspective where we don't have to get upset at people. Amen. Y'all, listen. All right, let me wrap up. Okay, so he persecuted the people. Talking about Asa. He persecuted the prophet. He oppressed the people, and he ended up suffering personally. Listen. If we lose context on seeking God, the next thing we start doing is trying to make our own way. That is the danger in life. The enemy wants to distract you. He wants to get you off. Everything is to get you away from seeking God. But everything you need to be running to is seeking God. Okay, Holy Spirit. Go to Romans chapter 8. This ain't on my notes, but I believe this is what the Holy Spirit wants to close with. Verse 38, I think it is. He says, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come." Listen, I want you to hear what I'm saying. If you're a God seeker, this is where you must become. This is where you've got to get to. Where you're persuaded that death ain't going to stop this. Life is not going to stop this. Nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. I believe Paul, the Apostle Paul, is under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is letting Paul know the things that you're presently dealing with can't separate you. But then he speaks to us as well, the things that will come. Saints, there's some things coming, but it don't have to separate you. Because for some reason, well, let me keep reading. He says, "Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." See, we've got to come to the point where we understand that what God has done is inseparable. He's made us inseparable. The only thing that can happen is we walk away. Nothing can break it. We just walk away from it. And see, once you get that revelation, you're a God seeker no matter what. See, even if your family is acting crazy, it don't mean you can't be a God seeker. So I wish you hear me today for real, because we think everything's got to be going good all the time. I'm saying, how focused are you that even when all hello break out in your life, are you still a God seeker? When somebody is doing things that you don't like, are you still a God seeker? Because if the enemy ever finds out that all it takes is something to throw you off, you're going to always have something. But if you're persuaded, don't matter what comes, I'm going to seek him. Don't matter how I feel, I'm going to seek him. You do what you want to do, I'm going to seek him. When you get that kind of conviction, now you're a God seeker. You might have just been a churchgoer before, but now you're a God seeker. And see, this is what we're lacking, is people who have this kind of conviction now. Because those people, they ain't worried about all of this other stuff. Well, y'all this and y'all this. Y'all, you going to church again? You doing this again? You what? No, you understand, I'm seeking God. I'm seeking him. The Bible says, seek him while he may be found. Implying that there will be a day that even if you seek him, he won't be found. So I want to make sure that I'm seeking him now. I ain't waiting on trouble to fall out. I ain't waiting. Well, you know, when Lord, you know, when I get this, then I'm gonna be more involved. Really? You never gonna get that, whatever it is. Because the enemy know you'll be more involved. Don't do your lives like that. I submit this to those of us, both young or old. Clear the things out of your life that take you away from seeking God. And seeking God, you all, is not just spending time praying and reading the word. It is your lifestyle. When you make a decision, did you make it based on the kingdom? I mean, what was your thought? What was behind what you would see? That's seeking God. Because I want to please him in all my ways. So it ain't just, you know, because sometimes we look at silly stuff. We look at silly stuff and go, well, you know, I gotta, if I could just pray more. Okay, if you could pray more, yes. But isn't there other things you could do to get stuff out of your life that you know is affecting you? If you're in a bad relationship, get out of it. Why? That's not pleasing in God's sight. You in something, doing something contrary to the word of God. Get out of that. Don't do that. And you ain't waiting on nobody to come tell you to pray more. No, get up. He, just like he was dealing with Joshua. He said, get up. There's sin in the camp. Midst of him praying, he said, get up. There's something you need to be doing instead of praying. Sometimes there's things that we need to do to seeking God. So God, I'm so serious about it. I remember when I first got saved, and I'm done after this. I had some things. Now, I had some things that I bought. When I say things, like paintings and stuff that I bought when I was overseas. Things that I had from, the best way of putting it for me, they came from my past life. And I had them, and they were quote unquote nice stuff. I mean, I thought it was nice. I did. And I felt the Holy Spirit convicted me, Minister Plummer, and he said, you need to get rid of that. I was like, I like that. I mean, you know, okay, you know when you buy something, when you purchased it. My wife had been all right. We had these paintings and stuff. I had caught from all my travels, I brought all this stuff with me. I preserved it through college. I kept it all of that time. And here we are in our own little home, and we praise God. And I just couldn't. I'm not here to tell you the Holy Spirit came to me and said, Daryl, thou shalt get rid of that. I kept feeling a conviction. It was ongoing. I couldn't shake it. It just was, you get rid of them paintings. I said, well, then you know we do. Why? You know, why? I never got a why. Finally, because it wasn't. Now, I'm saying this to some of you all because the Holy Spirit's going to deal with you on some things. Some things you need to get rid of a certain way. I gave these to somebody because for us, I mean, it was just paintings, but it for some kind of way, it linked me to something that God didn't want me linked to. That's all I could ever get out of this. So I'm like, let's break the link. You know, you are the weakest link, you know, so we got rid of that. But I gave it to somebody else. But my wife and I have had instances where we've dealt with things that were connected that other people were connected to, and they had to get rid of it another way. What I'm saying is everything, you can't just say, oh, I'm going to put it in the trash. Some stuff the Lord may tell you, burn it. Okay, I know if you need Bible for that. In Acts, when they brought all of they had a whole bunch of books and stuff that they was tied up into. Some of it was witchcraft and stuff. They burned it. They didn't just take it to the trash. Some stuff needs to be burnt. Because you link to stuff. When you link to stuff, break the link. This is part of being a God seeker. What I'm sharing with you now is the conviction will take place because the Holy Spirit is saying, I want you to become more in line with what I'm calling you to. And you've got to break those things that are linked to you that should not be. Amen. I'll take it that they got it. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you. I am finished.